Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Lucy Richards, Senior Editor at DK Eyewitness, and welcome to Where to Go, where we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. So regular listeners, hello, you will know that I'm actually on maternity leave, so what am I doing here? Well, this is a very special episode that we recorded back in October 2023. I'm really genuinely excited to be talking to today's guest, Casey Rose, not only because she's an expert travel content creator and influencer and definitely giving Stanley Tucci a run for his money in the Italy expert category, but because I've gotten to know Casey rather well this past year. But enough from me, let's talk to Casey. For those of you who don't know who she is, Casey Rose is a travel content creator living in Florence, Italy. After a life-changing solo trip, she made the official move to Italy in January 2021. And here she began sharing culture shocks, travel tips, and posts about life abroad across her social media, where her following quickly grew to a community of over 1.5 million people. I'm really, really excited to say, welcome, Casey.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Casey, this is so exciting.
I know, it's been a long time.
The one I've been really looking forward to. Tell listeners, Casey, because I've not said anything yet, Tell listeners how you and I have come to know each other.
Lucy, you emailed me, I think, in October of what, 2022? I think, yeah.
That's right.
Just out of the blue and said, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, no. Yeah. You said, well, if you ever want to talk, let's get on a call. And so we did. And you convinced me to write a book. And it was...
Twisted your arm.
No. You were the one that put the seed in my brain and encouraged me to do it and have been there every step of the way. And here we are.
Here we are. So tell listeners the name of your book, which is coming out in May 2024.
So it will be called You Deserve Good Gelato.
Oh, brilliant. Love that title.
Me too.
Well, I think we will be touching on the book, but we're going to be talking a lot about your experiences of traveling the world, embracing failure, and most importantly, your mantra, Casey, which is do the shit that scares you. So let's do it.
Let's do it.
So we've called this section Reasons to Travel the World, which is part of the subtitle of the book. So for listeners who don't know, could you explain what first brought you to Florence?
Yeah, so basically the short story version, because it's a very long story full of butterfly effects and random things that had to fall into place to make happen. But basically, the short version is that I came on a solo trip in 2018. I did Venice, Florence, and Rome. And on my first night in Florence, I met my boyfriend, Dario. He wasn't my boyfriend at the time, obviously, but I met a boy. His name was Dario. We spent my 3 days in Florence together, and then we just continued talking ever since then. He came to visit me about a month later. We ended up doing a year of long distance before he came to move to live with me in New York in December 2019. We had a year in New York together, which was, you know, obviously 2020. So there was a lot of challenges and tribulations there. And then in January 2021, his visa was up and my industry, I was a professional dancer at the time in New York, my industry was completely shut down. And so we decided to make the move back to Florence together as a 6-month trial basis. And here we are 3 years later.
So it's gone well then.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby.
Out of interest, had you traveled much before?
Yes, yes and no. So when I was a kid, my mom was actually a travel agent. And so we would always travel, but we would stay mainly like, you know, North America, the Caribbean a lot. And then when I started to get older, I would travel for work as a professional dancer. I would get hired out around the country. I judged a lot of dance competitions, so I would fly out for weekends across the country. I had went to London, actually, when I was 16 or 17 on a school trip, something like that. But beyond that, that was my only experience with Europe, was going to, to London when, you know, on the school group trip, shall we say. So yes and no, but this trip was my first solo trip ever. Really jumped in the deep end, you know?
I know you talk about that in You Deserve Good Gelato. Yeah. You talk about how liberating solo travel is and, you know, having that complete control, doing just what you want. And you give that example of if you want to eat gelato at 10 a.m., it's totally acceptable. Is solo travel something that you would still champion now?
Absolutely. I think for me, at least, solo travel is one of the best ways that you can get to know yourself. You become so confident in yourself and your ability to do hard things. I think everybody should solo travel at least once. And it doesn't have to be like to a completely different country. It can be your next town over, your next state over, the next bordering country over. But I think it's one of those things that just allows you to gain so much confidence in your ability to do hard things.
Yeah. And that's something, again, that you talk about a lot in the book. It's kind of all of those, all of those learnings. Sort of each chapter has like a lesson, and you talk about things like resilience and such and how travel is just so enriching, not only in that you're experiencing all these different cultures, but all the learnings that you can take away from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is it, do you think, specifically about Italy that's so captured your imagination? I mean, obviously you met Dario, who is Italian, but you love Italian culture. Can you put your finger on what it is about it?
Girl, I wish I could. I have no idea what was what inspired me to go so badly. It was one of those places that every time somebody asked me where I would want to travel to, I always said Italy. And I'm only 3% Italian, so that's not, that can't be it.
Yeah.
I think it was just the allure of, like, of course the food, but something about the culture, something about the landscape, just the warmth that the country gives off. I was so intrigued by it. I was so inspired by it. Yeah. And it was just that place that whenever somebody said, where do you want to go travel? I would say Italy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you totally. Everyone who knows me knows I'm an absolute sucker, which I think in part, Casey, is how I sort of became obsessed with your channel in the first place, because you were posting about Italy and I love Italy. And I know we've both fangirled over Stanley Tucci in Zoom calls before, but you do a great job of getting under the skin of, on your socials, as well as in your book, of sort of getting under that kind of, all those sort of Italianisms, like coffee culture and, you know, nonna's not like, what is it about going out with your hair wet?
Oh, I wish I knew, but I don't do it anymore because I know I'm going to get some nonna that's very persistent that I dry my hair.
Yeah. There is just, there's something about Italy. It does just have a real sort of magic around it.
It does.
But, you know, obviously, whilst you are significantly championing Italy, you are a travel content creator and you really cheerlead travel. Mm-hmm. And we sort of talked about this and I've kind of hinted at this, but what is it about travel and experiencing different cultures that you think is so enriching? Why are you encouraging people to do it?
Well, I think that culture differences, when you really think about it, they are the best tools that we have in our toolbox in order to understand and appreciate other people living on this planet, right? Like, I feel like we're so often told that what is unknown or different is bad, which then discourages travel. It, you know, it causes a lot of chaos in the world and unnecessary chaos at that. And I just think there's something really beautiful and unifying about seeing how other people live and do life that is, at the end of it, has the same goal as you, right? We all want love and happiness and good food and to laugh and just be happy. We just might get there in different ways. And there's something so extraordinarily unifying about that. And I think that if we start to learn about other people, we can respect other people more.
Yeah. That's a wonderful message. Yeah. Really wonderful message. We're going to talk a bit more about embracing failure, which I think we're going to get onto the funny stuff now, basically. So Casey, you've learned so many lessons while traveling, and your MO is wanting to help others learn these too. Can you talk us through a couple of these learnings?
Yeah. Oh gosh, I have made so many freaking travel failures. I could literally write a book about it. It's actually why I started my whole channel, honestly.
Yeah.
Let's see. What haven't I done? I have gotten on the wrong train and ended up in the middle of rural Italy with a dead phone. I was stranded in France one time because I missed my connecting flight. I also missed my connecting flight in Lisbon, actually, so there's some problems there. recently, I ruptured my eardrum when I was traveling through Hungary, and that was, I ruptured my eardrum, and I was navigating, navigating a dark, scary Hungarian hospital at 11 p.m. That was an experience I'll never forget. And then, you know, besides those big things, there's also so many little travel mishaps I've done. Like everything that you can think of, I have messed up on. From like putting chicken on top of pasta. I've broken spaghetti in front of Dario. Dario's a chef, so that basically was like ripping out his arm. Quite literally everything. And so I'm, you know, I've put every mistake I've ever made put on the internet. So I hope it's helpful to somebody.
It definitely is. I think some of my favorite ones are actually the language mistakes that you've made, which maybe we shouldn't repeat on a podcast, but you've asked like a waiter for a pen and it turned out that was something you asked for, like very, very different.
Oh, very, very different. Yes. I've said very many embarrassing things to Dario's mom, which I do go into in the book.
Yes, you do. You do. There was a gesture at a concert, I think, that you made, like what you thought was a rock on gesture.
Yep.
That meant something else. But one of my favorites is the story of the grappa. Can you tell the story the grappa?
Yeah. So we were at dinner with Dario's family. It was like one of the first dinners I had with them. And you know, at that point, like I'm just getting used to being in the Italian family. I'm like still trying to make a good impression. It's like, you know, I was the odd one out, let's say. It's like this American girl that he brought home and was like, you're part of the family now. And they're so wonderful. His family is so wonderful. But you still, like, when you're introduced to your partner's family, you want to make a good impression, right? And so I was still in that, you know, that mindset. And we had a great dinner. And then his aunt poured shots of, like, this clear liquor, which I've come to find out is called grappa. Yeah. Clear liquor and put it all in front. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, are we about to bond over doing shots? Like, I'm not a shot girly, but I guess I can buckle up. Maybe this is why Italian families are so close. I have no idea. So I was like, okay, let's do it. And I took that thing in one go.
Yeah.
If you haven't tried grappa, if anybody hasn't tried grappa, it is like the equivalent of like jet engine fuel. I'm pretty sure it's how they make planes go, truly.
Yeah.
And it was just... It was horrible. It was awful. And I tried to play it off cool because I was like, oh, I can't, I have to act strong. Like, you know, like part of the family now. And I come up from my shot, like trying not to gag. And I just see like horrified faces around me. And his aunt was like, no, like we sip the grappa. But great job. Yeah. Brava. Ma brava. I was like, okay. So yeah, that was don't shoot the grappa. Don't shoot the grappa. You sip the grappa.
Yes. And you say don't shoot the grappa, and that leads me perfectly onto saying that each sort of chapter in the book is sort of themed around a particular idea. Mm-hmm. And importantly, each chapter has like a learning that you've taken away from your travels.
Yeah.
And what I must stress is the book is it's not just Casey talking about sort of fails, it's also serious wins that you've had, right? Yeah. Like, this is a real manifesto sort of for championing travel. There's loads of positives in there, like about the slower pace of life and being exposed to new histories and the, like, incredible scenery, as you say.
Yeah,
there's just all the really positive bits about travel.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to remember that, like, through failures and through these mishaps and these embarrassing moments and all of these things that inevitably will happen when you're traveling or living abroad, there is always a positive that you can take away from the situation. There's always a lesson to be learned that you then pocket and you carry it with you for the rest of your life. And
yeah,
when you choose to focus on those, it makes the embarrassing moment, it makes the failure that much better and that much more necessary, totally. Let's say. So yeah, there's always a lesson to be learned, and that that's what I am really proud to have put in the book. Yeah.
Yeah, rightly so. And what you also say really nicely in the book is that it's at home and abroad. So, mm-hmm. You know, we all make, there's that saying about you learn from your mistakes, and it's true. I think we just tend to make more mistakes when we're traveling because it's so new to us. It's so foreign to
us. You're out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. Yeah. But as you're saying, it actually doesn't matter where you make those mistakes. There is a learning to be had from them. And I also really like it. You say, if anything, any mistake you make just makes great dinner party fodder.
Yeah.
I think that's a really nice way of putting it.
Oh yeah. If any failure that you have, get ready to be the life of the party for every future party to come. Like, truly, you will be the life of the party, you know? And if anything, like, that's what you can take away from it. But there's so much beauty in failing, and there's so much beauty in making mistakes. And I think so often when we fail, it's so commonly seen as like a deterrent and as a defeat, when in reality, like, failing is one of the best things that you can do in your life, because you learn from it. And that's what helps you to change and to grow. And beyond that, like, you build perseverance, right?
Totally.
And you learn that you can persevere to do hard things. And when you get that win at the end of it, it makes it all much more rewarding.
Yeah.
And I think so often, if we could change our mindset to see a failure as actually, you know, a good thing, because some of our best successes come from our most incredible failures, which is quite beautiful.
I'm throwing a curveball question at you, Casey, but
tell me.
So on that note then, you're right, because what you're saying is travel's really enriching. Travel is how you're really going to learn stuff, and mistakes are where you're going to learn stuff. And when you travel and you're making mistakes, you're really going to grow. Can you talk a bit then about that kind of growth from, you know, Casey, when you first went on your solo travel, and where you are now? Like, are you the same person? Like, can you just talk a bit about how much you have grown?
Yeah, no, I am not the same person at all. I think of, you know, Casey from 5 years ago and how much she had to learn, rightfully so and thankfully so.
Yeah.
And I think through traveling and through living abroad and even just, you know, living a regular life in a place that's out of my comfort zone, that's away from my hometown, that's away from the things that I'm used to, my friends, my family, it really forces you to see things from a different perspective, right? And so when you live abroad, like, I have done things that I thought I would never do. And I have changed my mind about things that I would have died on a hill for, like, truly.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize that, like, these beliefs are dependent on your environment, and they're just beliefs, and they can change, and that's so beautiful. So yeah, it's helped me grow so much. So much.
Yeah. We're going to move on to the next section, which I think you will like the name of, which is Do the Shit That Scares You. So let's move on to that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Casey, this is your mantra, Do the Shit That Scares You, and it lies at the heart of your message to all of your community. Why these 5 words? Can you tell us more?
Yeah, I think it comes from a place of, at the end of this life, you don't get a do-over, right? There is no second chance. And so when you get to the end of your life, for me, lying on my deathbed and regretting not doing something earlier on in my life just because I was too scared to do it at the time, that to me is 10 times scarier than any scary thing that I would have wanted to do. And so for me, it's just do the shit that scares you is taking advantage of life and taking advantage of the time you have here, because we don't get a do-over. We don't get to press replay. We don't get to go back at the end of our lives. And so we have to take advantage of it. So even if it scares you, you have to do it. Because otherwise, you're going to wonder what could have been for the rest of your life until you get on your deathbed, and you'll never know the answer. And I think it comes back to failing too, because let's say you do something really scary. It was a, you know, a big risk in your mind and it fails. At least you know the answer to it, right? Like, that can't ever be seen as a failure because you've done it. And that is like the biggest success that you can have. You've done it. You have no secret dream lurking in the back of your head.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, you don't live a life with regrets in that way. And doing scary shit, like, it's so important. It's so important.
There's that phrase, every experience is a good experience.
Yeah.
I suppose it's like that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And that really, even if it is a negative experience, there will be something from it that you take, some nugget that is enriching or learning or something that you learn about yourself.
Absolutely. I think it's a silver lining. There's always a silver lining, even in the toughest situations. And you're right. Every experience is a good experience. It's just kind of about switching your mindset to be in that mindset, because again, so easily we can let fear play such a primary role in our lives when it shouldn't be that way, you know?
Mm. You're very honest about pushing yourself to finally book that plane ticket for your solo trip, but you're also very open about sort of the bigger things like homesickness in the book, which for listeners was the first chapter that Casey sent me, which I thought was just incredibly brave. That was the first topic. Honestly, I couldn't get over it, Casey, but that was the... Aww. I thought you'd dip your toe in with writing about, like, you know, language differences or something like that.
I think I sent you a message with that because I wrote this whole homesickness chapter because it was just like something I was relating with so much. And like, I know other people go through, and I think it's such a thing that we... It's so tangled and it's so messy and it's so much more complicated than I think people realize, because we just say homesickness and make it be a blanket statement, but there's so many layers to it. And I think I sent that chapter to you realizing like, oh no, I was like, she's going to think that I'm like, not okay. Like, she's, I paused. I was like, I'm so sorry.
It's like, are you okay, Casey?
It's the first thing you said to me. Yeah, we got on a call. I'll never forget it. We got on a call, Lucy, and like a week after I had sent that chapter, and the first thing you said to me, you were like, are you okay? Okay. And I think at that point, Lucy, I hadn't finished the chapter, so I hadn't tied it up with like what I had learned from it, because...
Yes, you're right.
And I just like left it really open-ended, and you were like, is this girl okay?
That's true. That is true. So I was just very much like, we need to check in on Casey. Is she all right? But I thought it was really brave. I thought that was I honestly thought the fact you just sort of chucked yourself into writing this book, and that was the first chapter you wrote, that took a lot of strength. Mm-hmm. And you are really open about it in the book. And as you say, you then, you make, take learnings from this. But you also acknowledge that it can, even though you love your life in Italy, it can pop up every now and then. How do you cope with big feelings like homesickness?
Yeah, I think it comes in waves, right? Like it never truly goes away, and it's something that will always be with you. And I don't think that that's a bad thing, right? It means that you hold a love for where you come from and your background and things that are normal to you. And I think so often homesickness gets a bad rep. And it sucks. Yeah. It sucks. It's a horrible thing to deal with. And again, it's so twisted in so many layers that come with it, because it doesn't just mean, you know, you're sick for your home or your family or friends. It goes so much deeper than that, where you start to become, you know, sick for the things that brought you comfort and the things that are familiar to you. And then there's another layer of like guilt that comes in there as well. It's a very complex thing. And I think it honestly depends on the day. I think it depends on the time. I think it depends on how high the wave that comes.
Yeah.
Because one minute you can be totally fine, on top of the world. And then the next minute it just comes at you out of nowhere. And so sometimes the solution for me is, you know, calling friends and family, obviously. Sometimes the solution is going on a walk and getting some exercise, getting some endorphins in your body. And sometimes the solution is binge watching Netflix with a peanut butter and jelly and popcorn. Like, that's truly, you know, what it is sometimes. And it varies, and it's, you know, it's a sucky thing to deal with. And I think it's important to remember that you aren't alone in it. And that everybody who travels, even lives abroad, lives far away from home, lives far away from things that are normal to them, everybody feels that way. And it doesn't mean that you are sad to be living the life that you're living.
Yeah.
But it just means that you hold love for another place as well. And I think it's important to remember that.
Yes, that totally. Yeah, it is. It does sound to me like homesickness is a bit like grief.
Yeah.
Out of interest, Casey, you do have a community around you, and you do have, I think, some American friends living in Italy. Is that something that you've talked about with sort of like fellow expats?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's something that's a shared experience. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it, because when you can connect with somebody over that feeling that is so hard to describe. It's so hard to describe if you haven't experienced it yourself, which is why it can be really, really hard to talk about it with friends and family who have never experienced it, right?
Sure.
And so it's really helpful to find people who have that same lived experience as you. And I think I'd go even farther to say, like, not only is it helpful, I think it's necessary to find people that have that same experience as you, so that you can have somebody that knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's tough. It's tough. No way around it. It's tough.
Yeah, I can see that. With the book, thinking of the subtitle then, so Reasons to Travel the World, Embrace Failure and Do the Shit That Scares You, what is the one thing that you do want listeners to take away from the book, like that one key message or learning?
I want people, or I'd love for people, to walk away feeling empowered to face their fears, because they're so much more capable than they think they are.
Yeah, well, that's the
that would be my goal.
Thank
yeah,
you very
that's
much.
All.
Thank you.
So many things, but I think that's the one that I hope people walk away feeling empowered to face their fears, and I hope people walk away knowing that they aren't alone. And even if they can relate with one, you know, one story or one small thing, or if it can make them laugh or smile or not feel so alone, I feel really good about that.
Well, that's why I approached you, Casey, because I think you do an amazing job of that online.
Thanks.
And you have built this incredible community, and you're a real friend to your followers.
Thanks.
You know, you really ride the highs with them and the lows with them, and are there sort of as an ear, and as well as offering advice. And that's why I thought, well, there's definitely a book in this girl.
Which is why, you know, I remember after we had so many talks, I think we had a meeting with a couple of the editors and the management team at DK.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically, they asked me, how do you feel about writing a book? And I said, it scares the shit out of me, which is how I know I'm supposed to do it.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's been kind of the phrase that I've had in my mind when I've been writing it, because I was scared shitless to write the book. But
yeah,
I'm holding on to, you know, I hope people walk away feeling empowered by it. That's the goal.
Well, I've read your manuscript I don't know how many times now, and I'm reading the latest edition, and I'm feeling like that. It honestly, it really makes me want to push myself to do new things. So you are a champion for travel, and you're a champion of the people. So
that's really sweet. Thank you. That's really sweet of you to say.
It's true though.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Go, Casey, we have to do, if it's okay with you, what we normally do on Where to Go podcast, which is our quick fire round. I hope you don't mind, but I know listeners will want to hear your must do's if you're comfortable with this. So
okay, yeah, let's do it.
Clear your mind. I'm going to name a few categories and you have to suggest just one thing to do in Italy. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. Let's do it.
Great. Okay, your favorite view?
Piazzale Michelangelo in Florence.
Where, tell us briefly, what's it like?
It's a massive, massive piazza overlooking Florence. It has the best view of Florence. And if you go up there at sunset with like a bottle of wine, sometimes there's music playing and people dancing and you get to watch Florence as the sun goes down. And as I'm sure you know, Lucy, there is something so magical about the sun setting over Florence. It's 100%. Just a view that just gets you feeling all fuzzy inside. And I just love it.
And a color. There's a color to the sky that's like no other color anywhere else.
It's like burnt oranges and soft pinks and hues of yellow. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Yeah.
Stunning. Great answer. Your favorite, oh, this is hard. Your favorite thing to eat?
Oh, that's so mean. I love everything. You know what? I'm on a kick right now with pappardelle con cinghiale, which is wild boar pappardelle, which is a type of pasta that's typical from Florence. It's very thick. Oh my gosh, I'm on a pappardelle con cinghiale kick right
now. We're recording this in October and that sounds wonderful.
It's so good.
Yeah. That sounds perfect.
I'm also a sucker for a carbonara. I know you only said one answer, but I'm also a sucker for a carbonara.
I'm kind. You can sneak in too. I'm very happy with a carbonara as well. I sign off on that as well. Casey, your favorite thing to drink?
Limoncello spritz.
Ooh, so this is quite a, this is definitely a bit of a trend at the moment. So it's, I think it's limoncello. Is it just limoncello and prosecco?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm not an Aperol spritz girly. I'm not really a select spritz girly, but I love me a limoncello spritz. They're more typical down south. It's kind of hard to find them the more north you go because lemons are typical from like the Amalfi Coast and Campania in general. So it's a little bit harder to find as you go up north, in which case I also love a little Hugo spritz moment. I'm sorry to sneak another one in there, but they're all in the spritz family. So that's, you know.
What's a Hugo spritz?
A Hugo spritz is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is with elderflower liqueur.
Oh, that sounds nice.
And Prosecco. Or it's white wine seltzer. You know what? I need to brush up on exactly what a Hugo spritz is, but it's really good. So.
It sounds great. If it's got elderflower in it in Prosecco,
yeah,
I'm happy.
It's really good.
Okay, Casey, your favorite, I'm going to go with your favorite museum or gallery.
I'm a history person. Like I love seeing old things. So I'm going to go with like the Colosseum or the Roman Forum, Pompeii. Again, I know this is more than one, but I'm looping them all together and I'm sorry.
It's very hard to choose.
I'm not so much an art person. I love seeing them and I love seeing the important works, but I am fascinated by history and medieval things and seeing
Italy
those.
Is the place for history, isn't it?
Because it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah. Good answer. And then finally, your favorite day activity?
A park. Just walking around a park because you will stumble upon so many random things like outdoor markets and people playing music. At a park near Florence, there's like carousels and carnival things and people just enjoying the day, bike riding. It's just, I love parks. And I think they give you such a feel for like the local atmosphere and like what it would be like to live in a place. I love parks.
That's so true. Actually thinking about like London or even Central Park, you're right, like actually it's a real window into how the locals live. I've never thought of it that way before.
Yeah, because think of it, like how many times do you travel somewhere and you're like, I am so gonna check out this park? Like very rarely are you fitting a park in, with the exception of maybe like Central Park in New York or like Villa Borghese in Rome, but there's something so beautiful about just going to a park in a neighborhood, because not many tourists go to parks in neighborhoods, and you really get a feel for like the local atmosphere.
People watching, just the art of people watching.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great answer. Well, Casey, thank you so much. Honestly, we are all super excited to have You Deserve Good Gelato coming out in a couple of months' time. And we just really appreciate your time. It's been wonderful getting to know you this last year. It is now. You must be so desperate for me to no longer be jumping up in your inbox. You can actually
I'm going to miss it. Don't you? You have to come to Italy for a spritz, remember?
Oh,
we'll figure out what's actually in a Hugo spritz, and we can talk about it on the next podcast.
I will come with baby boy, and we'd love to come and see you. But thank you so much, and all the best for everything. Sending you loads of good wishes from us at DK.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
So a huge, huge thank you to Casey Rose. Genuinely, I've been so excited to record this episode, and it's going to be strange to listen back to it sort of 6 months later, but we'll have a long. But big thanks, Casey, for all of your patience actually with me over this past year, sort of bombarding your inbox and asking for countless meetings and giving you lots of feedback, but also not lots of feedback because your manuscript is brilliant. But just thank you so much. And listeners, please follow Casey's adventures on TikTok at CaseyRose4 and on Instagram at CaseyRose. And really importantly, be sure to buy a copy of You Deserve Good Gelato, written by Casey and published by us at DK. Thank you very much, and hopefully see you guys at some point again in the future. Where to Go is a podcast from DK Witness. It was produced by Julia Baker and presented by Lucy Richards with the help of Bella Talbot. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness. Please like and follow the show, and if you have time, leave a review. Your support really does mean so much.